to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center.
When you were born, a morning star arose and sang to the universe who you are. You are your grandmother's prayers. You are your grandfather's dreamings. You are the breath of your ancestors. You are the Spirit of God. We are the Spirit of God. Each one of us is the Spirit of God. There are no exceptions. There are no caveats. There's no carve-outs. This is who we are. It is our truth. We do not need to prove it to anyone. We do not need anyone's permission. There are no prerequisites. This is my truth. Say that with me. This is my truth. I am the Spirit of God. I am the Spirit of God. This is our second unity principle. The first of the basic unity principles is God is, and the second one is I am. I am the Spirit of God. I am the presence of God. I am God expressing through me. I am Christ consciousness. This is the truth of who I am. This is the truth of who each one of us are. The title of today's talk is You Are Pre-Approved. And I know in the newsletter I joked a little bit about that, how that's music to our ears right now with applying for assistance or with our insurance and all the things going on, and people are coming with their tablets or their pads and talking to us, and we're waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen. Are we approved? And so, as always, I love to turn to the dictionary. What does this really mean? Approval, the belief that something or someone is good or acceptable, a good opinion of someone or something, permission to do something, acceptance of an idea, an action, or a plan, approval rating, seal of approval, stamp of approval, approval book. Now that one tripped me up. I had to look it up. There actually is such a thing as an approval book. So what does pre-approval mean? You already passed the approval process, and therefore, you are guaranteed whatever it is that you are asking for, whatever it is that you're applying for. Now, I know in the world of mortgages, that's not what pre-approval means, but we're not talking about the world of mortgages. We're talking about the world of spirit, that each one of us is already fully, fully authorized to live our truth, to act from our hearts, to do as we're divinely guided to do. And I'm sure I'm not alone in being able to think of situations in my life that I did not do that, that I held back, that I was waiting for permission. I wasn't sure what the rules are, what's socially acceptable in this situation. Perhaps you can think of times like that in your own life. I'll share with you a story. Recently, in one of my talks, I did share that when I was not quite 2 years old, we lost my brother. He was 12, and he died from a condition, a heart condition. And this sadness in my family was palpable. And you can imagine a two-year-old, we're the center of the universe. That also means we're, children think they're responsible for everything that happens. So I grew up feeling very responsible for being good and doing the right thing and trying to please my parents. That was not impressed upon me by my parents. They were really easygoing folks, but they were sad, and I wanted to see them happy. And so I became a follower of the rules, like all the rules. Like if there weren't rules, I'd make them up, because that was my world. I can remember going to a store with a friend of mine, and they went in the outdoor. I gasp. I mean, that was me. I needed to know what those rules were. Fast forward a few years, and I'm pregnant with my son, and I'm so pleased that the year before I became a vegetarian, and I'm reading all the books, and I'm, you know, going to the classes, and I'm just doing all the right things. This is my firstborn. And the day comes when he decides he's ready, and after many, many hours of labor, I had to have a C-section. No one in my family had ever had a C-section. I always seemed to be the first for everything. So I'm sure there was a part of me that felt a little defeated with that, and I was definitely not my strongest, having gone through surgery. So the nurse brings my son to me. He's screaming at the top of his lungs. He had just been circumcised. Brings my son to me for me to comfort. And my arms are outreached to take him, and the lab tech comes in and says, I'll just be a few minutes. And the nurse takes him out the door. Now that seems like, you know, that was one little 5 minutes of my life. You cannot believe how long I punished myself as a mother for not having said, whoa, bring my boy to me. I'm going to comfort him. You come back later. You know, I'm sure you can go do something else, go take somebody else's blood. That I didn't do that. That was a huge deal in my life, a huge deal. Later, when my son started to have some problems in his life, don't think I didn't go back to, oh, if I'd only held him that day. I did, and I'm not Catholic or Jewish, but I did. I went right there. Don't tell my son ever, because he's always looking for an excuse of why things turned out the way they did. But I chastised myself. Why was I not strong enough to come from my mother's heart and say, nope, my son comes first? We have those situations in our lives where we want to do something, and maybe we do it, but not in the big way we want to, because that just doesn't quite seem appropriate. So we hold back. We hold back thinking we need someone else's permission. Someone else's permission. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians today, and I didn't coordinate this, but the daily word was also from 2 Corinthians. I want to tell you a little bit about this epistle. It is actually a blend of many fragments of letters from the Apostle Paul to his church in Corinth, which he founded. And that's why within this epistle, his mood seems to go up and down. It's actually from different years, different moods, different messages. But he's talking to the members of the congregation there. For he has learned that there have been teachers coming and expressing a different characteristic of Jesus than the early Christians would have liked. They are teaching in his church, if you can imagine, that Jesus was a Jewish prophet teaching people to obey the laws of Moses. For Paul, the time of the law of Moses was over, and Jesus represented humankind's opportunity for a new relationship with God and to understand the kingdom of God in a new way. So he was not pleased. Let's look at the third chapter, verses 2 and 3. You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. What Paul is doing in this chapter is reminding the congregation that he does not need letters of reference from them. He knows them. He's been with them a long time. They share this heart of love. He knows that the Christ consciousness is written on their hearts. And then he very gently draws a line in the sand. When he talks about tablets of stone, he's talking about the law of Moses. There are many laws in our human world written by men and women. And the point that he's making is that when you live by the law, by the rules that come from facts, and facts change, You can be judgmental and critical and punish, actually punish yourself and others. But when you come from the heart, you take what your intellect gives you and put it in the perspective of love and wisdom. So it's that age-old conflict metaphysically between the heart and the head. And Jesus never denied the law. He said, I came here not to deny the law, but to fulfill the law. He did not want people to disregard the laws of Moses. He wanted to go beyond. He wanted to go deeper. And that was the example that he gave us. That was the example that he gave us. And so, being pre-approved is the divine authority that we already have to live our life in truth, with a capital T. Facts change, truth does not. For we contain within us all the knowledge in our bones and the love and the wisdom in our hearts. We already have permission from the Most High. For it was that energy that and love that created us, that animated us, gave us that right. We have that right from our first breath until our last and possibly beyond. It is who we are. And sometimes we can be confused about that. We may think that how we spiritually lead is based upon our rank. Maybe it's based upon our maleness or our whiteness or our able-bodiedness or our education, certification, IQ, wealth, fame, whatever. We think it is dependent upon someone bestowing upon us the right for us to live our truth. We came into the world already knowing our truth. We need only trust it. I have a quote from Marianne Williamson that is so beautiful. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. See, we are not alone with thinking we need permission. We need permission to live and love and express God out loud. We may need community to help us remember what is in our bones. But we do not need other people's permission to spiritually lead, to be guided by spirit. We don't need to see ourselves as a leader. We simply need to know, yes, we are children of God. We are spirit. We are spirit. That gives us the authority, the permission, the pre-approval to be who we are. We are each perfectly gifted with all the skills and the abilities that we need. We've been equipped. We've been outfitted. We are ready. And we have the authorization divinely given to us. We need only let go of any resistance or fear or doubt, to let go of those things that are holding us back from being who we came here to be, from doing whatever work it is that we individually came here to do. I have a poem by Reverend Sapphire Rose. It's called She Let Go. But you can also say He Let Go. She let go. Without a thought or a word, she let go. She let go of fear. She let go of the judgments. She let go of the confluence of opinions swarming around in her head. She let go of the committee of indecision within her. She let go of all the right reasons. Wholly and completely, without hesitation, she just let go. She didn't ask anyone for advice. She didn't read a book on how to let go. She didn't search the scriptures. She just let go. She let go of all the memories that held her back. She let go of all the anxiety that kept her from moving forward. She let go of the planning and all the calculations about how to do it just right. She didn't promise to let go. She didn't journal about it. She didn't write the projected date in her day timer. She made no public announcement and put no ad in the paper. She didn't check the weather report or read her daily horoscope. She just let go. She didn't analyze whether she should let it go. She didn't call her friends and discuss the matter. She didn't do a 5-step spiritual mind treatment. She didn't call the prayer line. She didn't utter one word. She just let go. No one was around when it happened. There was no applause or congratulations. No one thanked her or praised her. No one noticed a thing, like a leaf falling from a tree. She just let go. There was no effort, no struggle. It wasn't good, and it wasn't bad. It was what it was, and it is just that. In the space of letting go, she let it all be. A small smile came over her face. A light breeze blew through her, and the sun and the moon shone forevermore. You are the Spirit of God. And when you were born, a morning star arose and sang to the universe who you are. You are your grandmother's prayers, your grandfather's dreamings, the breath of your ancestors. You are the Spirit of God. You contain within you all the knowledge of the universe in your bones, all the love and the wisdom in your heart. You know within you what is yours to do in this world, and you have been divinely authorized to do so. God bless you this day. Thank you.